Good morning. This morning we're going to read from the book of Jonah, Jonah 1. If you'd like to follow along on your Bibles, it's on page 967, but it'll also be up on the screens. Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Thus far the reading of God's word.
I don't wanna. How many times have you heard somebody say that? You say to your kid, "Eat your vegetables." And they say, "I don't wanna." Your spouse shakes you and says, "Time to get up, lazy bones. We have to go visit my mother." And you say, "I don't wanna." We're going to be in the annual ritual of finding new elders and deacons, and the nominating committee is going to go up to lots of us and say, "We'd like you to let your name stand." And a whole lot of us are going to say, "I don't wanna." Jonah was an "I don't wanna" kind of guy. God spoke to him. God was crystal clear in his expectations of him and of his calling on him, and he said, "I don't wanna." See, Jonah's task, his calling was to be a prophet, to speak the word of God. And God said to him, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it. Now, Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. Not Syria, but Assyria, a totally different thing. The Assyrians were notorious and greatly feared. These people were really a piece of work. They were notorious for their cruelty and their ferociousness. They were violent. They would come into a place that they'd overrun a land and they would torture and murder and rape and do all kinds of abominations against the people to prove their dominance and to frighten all the other nations around. Don't mess with the Assyrians because they're going to mess you up. Everybody hated them and feared them. Everybody wanted the Assyrians to vanish because they were just so terrible. Destroyers of people and destroyers of cultures. And God said to Jonah, I want you to go to the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, to the city of Nineveh, and I want you to preach against it. Jonah didn't want to do that because the smart thing for anybody to do was to stay as far away from that place as you could get. You don't go into the jaws of the dragon if you can avoid it. He also didn't want to go there because he was concerned about what the word of God might accomplish in the city of Nineveh. What might happen if he goes there? Well, one thing that might happen is he might die. And not in a nice way, not in a quick way. He would be, death by the Assyrians meant a prolonged, torturous, hideous, miserable, painful, name the awful word, kind of death. That could be one thing that was waiting for him. Another thing that might happen if he went and he preached the word of God to the people of Nineveh was that they would actually listen to him, that they would hear what God said and repent. Maybe that they would say, we have been doing terrible things. We have been acting like terrible people. We are going to turn to God. We're going to transform ourselves. We're going to be what God wants us to be. And Jonah didn't want that for them. He didn't want to be part of a process that might actually mean the forgiveness of these terrible, terrible people. So when Jonah says, I don't wanna, he's saying, I don't want to die, and I don't want the Assyrians to live. And therefore, Jonah went running. Nineveh was a city that was to the north and the east. And Tarshish was a city that was to the south and the west. He could not have found a place that was more in the exact opposite direction. And Tarshish was a community that was in Spain, on the far end of the Mediterranean Sea. In terms of the known world, it was at the end of the known world. You go any further, then you fall off the table. So Jonah was very strategic in deciding where he was going to run. And when we read this story, it's our natural inclination, probably because most of us have heard this story before. It's not a new story. And we tend to be critical of Jonah. Well, Jonah, come on. I mean, God spoke to you real clear. He said, this is what I want you to do. And you said no. You don't say no. You know, you don't say no to God. You don't turn tail and run for it. But if that's what we say, if that's our attitude towards this story and our attitude towards Jonah, then we are being pretty hypocritical. Because we are runners as well. Now, there's a lot that we like about being part of a Christian community. And there's a lot that we like about being part of Bethel Church. I mean, it's so comfortable. Those chairs, aren't they great? You got used to them now. They're kind of like a lumbar support and nice soft for your behind. No one's getting numb. Like you would have on those wooden pews. It's great, isn't it lovely? And it's so comfortable. We have a furnace. We have HVAC people in our church who make sure that we are right on. It's always, you know, warm in the winter, and the air conditioning works in the summer, and we never have to sweat in this place. It's lovely. And the worship service, you know, we have these worship people, the worship leaders and the singers, they practice and they prepare carefully. And we come in and we're so blessed by the beautiful music and the thoughtful songs and the liturgy that's put together. We say, ah, it's nice. It is really, really nice. Congratulations to the worship planners and the worship teams that do that. And we expect to hear a sermon that's kind of interesting. We want it to be based on Scripture so that it's a reliable message, not just, you know, Adam's opinion on stuff, but anchor it in the Word, please, and we try to do that. But speak the Word gently. We want truth, but we don't want ruffled feathers. Got to be careful not to upset anyone. But I sometimes wonder, if we really understood the gospel, if we really listened to what the Bible said, if we took in what is a radical, life-changing, countercultural message that's in the Bible and applied it to our lives and to our community, would we pull a Jonah? Or by keeping it safe and easy, by overlooking the challenging bits and the awkward bits and the hard bits, have we already been doing a Jonah? Are we right now on the ship to Tarshish, fleeing from the call of God on our lives, fleeing from the mission and the calling that God has given to us? The call of God is hard. The will of God for us as his people and a church is contrary to our inclinations. And it is not popular. The call of Jonah was, go to your enemies and bring them a life-transforming, a life-saving message about God and his will for them. And if you remember what Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, he said this, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. It is our calling as Christians to recognize our enemies and then to love them. We are called to see the greatest needs of those who hate us the most and then supply them. So the obvious question is, well then, who are our enemies? Those committed to acts of terror, suicide bombers who persecute and kill Christians, burn down their churches, and through their violence create multitudes of refugees? Are they our enemies? Sure they are. But as heinous as all these things are, the so-called Christian West has done a miserable job of responding to these things as followers of the Prince of Peace. We've had military responses. We've had SEAL Team 6 and things like that. But how has the church spoken to them? We've been running. Well, those aren't the only enemies that we might identify. Our enemies are any and all who work to foster a world that is different than God's creational intention. If people are working not for the revelation of the kingdom of God, not working for the fostering of creation as God called and commissioned his image bearers to do, then those people are our enemies. People who deface the environment should be understood to be our enemies. Those who belittle and discriminate against any who are made in the image of God, whether it's because of color or sexual orientation or national origin or whatever, if they belittle and discriminate against them, those people are enemies. Those who teach and promote a philosophy or a faith that is contrary to the revelation given to the world by the Holy Spirit is an enemy. And we are called in all of these instances to love them. What does it mean to love our enemies? It means to correct them, to show the way that it should be, to say, this is not what God wants you to do. This is not what God wants you to be. Understand that this is the way of the Lord. To love them is to share the truth with them, to not hold back, to not swallow the words that in an appropriate and friendly and a winsome way says, this is the reason for the hope that lies within me. To love them is to say, this is what God has done in my life. And it's because of a transforming relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. And we run from all that. We do. We don't want to. So yeah, you're polluting and destroying the environment. Oh well, yeah, it's economics, isn't it? So you believe this, which is contrary to the revelation and the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, that's your business. We don't want to speak, and so we run. We run by accepting the demonic notion that faith is private and that it's bad manners to be transparent with others about what we hold dear. We run by turning away from the opportunities to connect with our community when we say, well, that's just not me, or I've been busy, I'd rather watch TV. Or, none of my friends are going, none of my friends care, so I'm not going, I don't care either. Think, if you can't think of a way that you are reaching out to your enemies, then you're a runner. Jonah learned that he was on his run away from God and on his call for his life. He learned that you can run, but you can't hide. There was this idea that God was somehow territorial, that if you're in the promised land, if you're in the Palestine, the land of Israel, well, that's God's domain. And you go outside of it, and then it's some other god. You know, our God doesn't have, you know, care and control of other parts of the world. Pharaoh in Egypt thought that. I'm not letting my slaves go. They're in my turf. I'm the God over them. Daniel in Babylon wanted to worship the Lord and wanted to help his people to stay true. And the other Babylonians said, no, in this place you worship our gods. And if you try to worship your own God, then we're going to do you in. Jonah tried to get away from God by thinking, if I can flee to the end of the earth, then God will not be there. And God will not be able to call me to do what I don't want to do. So he got on that boat. He thought, God is the God of the land. He isn't here on the sea, even though he knew that God was the Lord of heaven, the maker of the sea and the land, but he was trying to run. And the hand of God came up. And the hand of God stirred the waters and whipped up the winds so that he could not proceed to the place of his self-imposed exile. He says, you're not getting away from me. And then the sailors, of course, we know the story, tried to get through it. They tried to deal with it, throw off the cargo. They found out what was the cause. The cause was Jonah trying to flee from the Lord. And they said, what must we do to make this sea calm down? You know what the right answer was? The answer that Jonah should have given is turn this boat around, head back to Joppa, so that I can do what God wants me to do. And if he had done that, the seas would have calmed. A nice wind to push them back to Joppa would have come up. And it would have been good. But Jonah said to them, basically, I don't want to stop running away from God. I am going to go to the one place where God can't get me. I am going to go into the grave. So he said to the sailors, tell you what, pick me up, throw me in, let me drown. And then the sea will be calm because God can't get me anymore. And to the great surprise of Jonah, God didn't let him escape him that way. God sent a fish to take him out of what was death and bring them back to the beach so that he can fulfill his calling and his duty. Our God is relentless. He doesn't give up. He doesn't give up on us. To Adam, cowering in the Garden of Eden after he fell into sin, God came in the garden and said, where are you, Adam? And God searched until he found him. To Elijah, the prophet, broken down and burned out, hiding all depressed in a cave, God came with a gentle whisper and said, I am still here with you. And to Jonah, unwilling, full of hate and bitterness towards his enemies, God came in word, and God came in storm, and God came in fish, and God would not give up. He didn't give up on Jonah. He hasn't given up on me. He's not going to give up on you. He keeps coming. He keeps calling. He keeps prodding and pushing and directing into the way we should go, into the calling we should fulfill. Since he's not going to give up, let's say okay to God. You want us, Lord, to be people who love our enemies? You want us to be people who discern our calling from you and proceed with it, even if it's not what we would have chosen for ourselves? Then we're not running, but we're walking with him in the direction that he wants us to go. And if you remember the end of the story, Jonah went to Nineveh. He preached the gospel, and the power of the word transformed the city. What's going to happen to our enemies when we start speaking and acting and living like the people of God who love our enemies? It will be another transformation in us, around us, and through us, to the glory of God. Amen. Father, we understand why Jonah ran. And we feel ourselves running and running and running. Help us to be people of faith and courage, vision and wisdom, obedience. Obedient to your call and giving you glory. Amen.